I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
9 o'clock code word is GO. G-O, you can text GO. Very simple, G-O. Text that word to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You have up until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. to text the word GO to win $1,000. And you're going to need it, guys. Valentine's Day just a month away, and we're paying off holiday bills. So if you want to do it, text the word GO, G-O, to 72881. And don't forget, if you miss a code word, simply go back on the 92.9 FM ESPN Radio.com app and use our rewind feature. You can actually go back and get the word. Pretty simple. Next word coming up here on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10 a.m.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. Well, I know.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN, today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you, wherever you may be. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, at jwright929 ESPN. Producing the program, the program director here at 92.9 FM ESPN, one Brad Carson. He's, of course, the executive producer of the Jason and John Show. The reason why he can hang out with me today is because the Jason and John Show is going to be live at the Wing Guru from 11 to 2. So if you're looking for some delicious wings and you want to go hang out with Jason and John, make sure you go and see them over at the Mount Moriah location, 11 to 2. They'll be broadcasting live from the Wing Guru on Mount Moriah. Let's celebrate what we got coming up on the program. Jeff's got an appointment, but he's still made some time for us here on the program. He's going to join us here in just a moment. We'll get into not only talking about Ja Morant, but let's get into everyone else talking about Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll discuss that. Of course, the Tigers taking on Cincinnati tonight, 6 o'clock over on ESPN. Right now, I believe the Tigers about a 4.5-point favorite. KenPom says around a 4-point win. We'll discuss that game and more with Jeff here in just a moment. Jonah Jordan's going to join the program. A lot of new moves and new faces in the Memphis Tiger football program. We'll discuss that and more with Jonah when he joins us here around 9:30 or so. Then at the top of the next hour, Brad's going to give you another chance to win $1,000. Make sure you're listening for the cash code. If you missed the cash code, as Brad just mentioned, go download the radio.com app, use the rewind feature, and you can go back and hear the cash code and still text that to 72881. Chris Harrington will join us. We'll get into more Grizzlies conversation with him around 10 o'clock. Steve White joins us as he does each and every Thursday. We are down to the final four of the NFL. It is championship weekend in the NFL. We'll discuss those matchups. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. We'll get his thoughts on the divisional round as well as what he's looking for this weekend. But now, without further ado, we welcome on the man that lent his talents to the signature hit, Precious Achiuwa. Jeff, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Jeffrey. I spent most of last night just scrolling Twitter looking for people to say nice things about the Memphis Grizzlies because it is so much fun. They have absolutely... I mean, I know, obviously, we talked about this yesterday in the wake of the win over Houston. But then nearly as much fun as watching the win over Houston was watching the reaction to the win over Houston, which played out yesterday. And I think it is just true. Like, I don't know that a Memphis sports franchise has ever gotten so much over-the-top love. Now, the Grit and Grind Grizzlies were beloved by basketball writers as sort of a sleeper, you know, as a unexpected, love them even though, despite, right, like that. Like, yeah, you're really kind of more fun than you think kind of thing, right, like that.
More of an appreciation than a love.
Yeah, they love Memphis. They love Grit and Grind. They love all of that. But let's be honest. In the end, you had to beg to get on national TV, right? I mean, it was in a world where Oklahoma City got all the breaks, got all the stars, got all the flash, we were the curveball. And we were, yeah, okay, fine. You built your house out of the most fabulous material. We took some cardboard and masking tape, duct tape, and assembled this house. And look at this. Our house is as nice as your house. And there's a certain pride in that, right? And it fit, and it was perfect. And I will never – listen, this – I heard yesterday – well, you and I had this argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said that these Grizzlies are more – fun than, and the most fun you've ever had watching the Grizzlies. And I just, first of all, I don't really feel the need. I heard Anthony saying all of Jason John talking about how Ja Morant is already better than Mike. Maybe he is. I don't feel the need to disparage the previous generation of the Grizzlies that rooted themselves into this city to enjoy and fully appreciate these Grizzlies. But I think it is true. No team has ever gotten, maybe Derrick Rose at his zenith, but has ever gotten as much love as Ja Morant did. And it really, yesterday, you could spend the entire day immersing yourself in that love and that praise. And we've heard a lot of it. We heard a lot of it yesterday. But there were two really striking examples that I want to revisit here. The shorter one was on Pardon the Interruption, where Michael Wilbon rolled out this adjective to describe Ja Morant.
Brett, it's on the second row of the hotkeys, and it's like, yeah, on Ja Morant, and it says PTI. It's in black.
Mac, you love watching Ja Morant.
That's the second one. We're in the reverse. So we're with the PTI one.
It was blank of Ja Morant to talk trash to James Harden.
Was presumptuous. I mean, come on. He's the number two overall pick. He's really good. He's probably going to be
that
the rookie of the year. He's got 18 points and 7 assists a game. And then he says, after he hits one close to James Harden, he says,
James,
quote,
get him.
Tell that expletive about me, unquote. Yeah. Let me tell you about the other guy. The other guy's already been
He's
the MVP. The other guy's averaging 38 points a game.
Yeah.
The other guy eat you up anytime he wants to. He's the scariest offensive guy in all of the game. Be careful what you wish for, young man.
It was Jordan-esque because he took on the biggest guy. He went big game hunting. He shot one in James's face. He was basically saying, what are you doing 6 feet off me, old man?
You're relating Ja Morant to Michael Jordan?
I'm talking about the act of that kind of talk.
Whoa.
He went big game hunting.
Whoa, next.
Jordan-esque, baby. He's not saying he's Michael Jordan, but he's saying that what he did was Jordan-esque. And I had a column up about this at the Daily Memphian, and in no way did I think it was disrespectful to James Harden. I made the comparison to, you know, Tony Allen was obviously courtside and on NBA TV during this game and going nuts watching Ja Morant. And when Tony used to, like, have these outbursts, right, he'd feel literally, if you remember the Golden State game, where during the game he's yelling, first team, it's just born of this hyper-competitive spirit that was embedded in Tony Allen and that is embedded, along with a lot more talent, in Ja Morant. There was nothing disrespectful about it, but I thought the remarkable thing was to roll out the Jordan-esque description for Ja Morant. But that wasn't the big one. And this is a longer clip we're going to play here. maybe the longest, one of the longest clips we've ever played here. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think Memphians ever get weary of hearing people say nice things about them.
Not in my lifetime.
So this is who are the principals here? We got Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady. She poses the question because Tracy McGrady has been a Ja Morant guy really from pretty much the beginning, and they dig into.
We get a lot of Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady talking about Ja Morant. Here's that.
Mac, you love watching Ja Morant. You have been on him since you got into this league. How much do you think now that the Grizz are, you know, they're playing so well around him, are they propping him into this all-star category too?
Well, first and foremost, shout out to the Grizzlies front office for putting together such a nice nucleus of talent that I think in the next, 2 to 5 years is going to be really, really exciting to watch with Ja, Brooks, Jaren Jackson, those guys. I mean, they are fun to watch right now, but given some more experience, they're going to be a problem in the Western Conference. Ja Morant, I'm saying this right now, he's going to be an MVP in this league.
Whoa!
He's going to be an MVP in this league, and he's going to be arguably the best player in the game. I am saying that. I'm going on the record to say that right now. I mean, the kid, he's fearless, right? He's fearless. He's such a cerebral player. Mm-hmm. And although he can score, he loves being a facilitator and making the game easy for his teammates. And that, in a result, these guys are playing great basketball right now. 6-game winning streak, are we talking? I mean, the talent is extremely young, and look what they're doing right now. So I love what I'm seeing from Ja and the Memphis Grizzlies.
But you didn't put him in the All-Star game?
I'm not going that far yet.
Okay, all right.
The West is deep right now.
I know. I just love that he's going to be an MVP. He's going to be the best player in the league. He's not an All-Star this year.
Well, he's the rookie of the year.
I get it. I get it.
So, first of all, Rachel, do you remember the day of the drafts? He came and he sat down with us. It was me, Rachel, and
Perk. He came on the jump.
Came on the jump. And we asked him about pressure and all that stuff. He said, oh, no, because my dad's the biggest hater in my life.
Yes.
He said his dad basically been booing him and telling him, you're not good enough. Oh, that's why you didn't get to a high D1 school. Basically, all this stuff to mentally prepare him for this. And like Max said, he's been playing great and with such great confidence. And he talks a lot of trash. I went to their first game of the year in Miami, and that was the first thing I noticed. Like, this is he talking? He talks a lot of trash, but he backs it up.
He opened this game talking trash to James Harden.
Yeah,
opened the game doing
that's
that.
A level of intestinal fortitude that you don't usually see in a rookie.
Yeah,
like out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Is he an all-star though? Well, because yesterday we had an all-star conversation.
We did.
And a lot of people didn't understand kind of some of the things I was saying.
Did you bring a toy with you to work today?
This is Lobster, the fan. He's a fan just like you guys at home. And sometimes I speak a little too quickly and go over things too fast for him to understand. So I'm going to hold his hand.
Oh, boy.
Like holding your hands at home and explain this to you.
Oh, boy.
Guys.
Here we go.
Ja Morant is playing great, right? Ja Morant is excellent. His team is in the playoffs, in the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
Rookies don't usually get voted by coaches because they're going to give it to the people who are incumbents, guys like Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard. They're going to give it to guys who have been knocking on the door for a while. If you think about Luka Doncic last year, he was amazing. The buzz around him was even bigger than it was around Ja right now. And he wasn't an all-star. So this isn't I hate Memphis, or I hate small markets, or I hate something that you like.
Oh, wait. Can I be the Lobster now, too?
Yes.
I mean, I would say this, though. If they continue this run and they could, like, move into a 7 seed before All-Star weekend,
Mac,
he's getting that nod.
Mac, he's not going to make it. Because if you think about the guards, Luka and Harden are the starters, right? Mm-hmm. Then in the backups, you got Lillard is going to be there. You got Chris Paul is probably going to be there because everyone thought Oklahoma City wasn't going to be great, and they've been doing a great job. You've got
Westbrook.
You've got, who else am I missing? Donovan Mitchell, because the Jazz, who we're going to talk about in a second, have been phenomenal, and he's been a big part of that.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, there you have it. That was 5 minutes on ESPN's signature.
We missed the windup, which was Rachel talking, basically comparing them to a cartoon character. You're exactly right. Here's the main point. the main signature show was talking about the Memphis Grizzlies for the entirety of it. That has never – do you think that's ever happened before?
Not for play reasons. Like, I think for the reasons that we've kind of mentioned, maybe the these guys are underappreciated, but not just from a pure, is this guy a star? Like, I don't ever remember that conversation occurring.
Let's take what Tracy McGrady said.
All right.
Tracy McGrady said he is going to be an MVP in this league, and he may be the full best player in the league. Agree?
I think that it's possible, because if you look at it in terms of the future, the right now, if you're looking at, okay, once the current generation of LeBron, the current generation of, you know, the people they just mentioned, Westbrook, Harden, there's still kind of that transition group of Giannis. If you start to look at this young core, it's right now it's him and Luka Doncic as the guys that appear to have more.
And Giannis isn't an old dude. Like, it's
right, but he's in that middle.
It's interesting. Would you right now? I guess if I had to bet, would he ever be an MVP? And if I hit it, you'd give me $1 million when he retires, right? I think I'd bet no. Isn't that the safer bet?
Right, but if you had that bet, someone's going to give you odds. Like,
no,
yeah, but yeah, if it's
up,
yes or no, you, oh,
up,
the you smart bet would be
going to be an MVP.
Correct. The smart bet would be no.
Probably not. And will he be the best player in the NBA? Probably not.
I just think that's...
Will he be one of the 10 best players in the NBA? I think probably so. Will he be one of the 5 best? Like, here's the other question. Someone said to me, so I got an email yesterday, the other question is, are we right now a little ahead of ourselves? Like, we don't have to go to, boy, isn't he awesome, this is great fun, to, and he's going to be an MVP, and if not, he's a disappointment. Like, we don't have to go to that. We don't have to put that on him right now. But so I'm not sure if we're guilty of irrational exuberance here. But someone asked me on by email, if you would trade him for any player in the league right now, right?
Yes.
I think it's a very interesting question. You clearly wouldn't trade him for LeBron. And I mean really practically trade him. Like, it could happen. Let's pretend for salary cap reasons. You wouldn't. LeBron would be unhappy, like, whatever. Like, you wouldn't trade. Andre Iguodala doesn't even want to come here, you know, so for this playoff run. So you wouldn't trade him for LeBron. You wouldn't trade him for KD. You wouldn't trade him. So then the questions are, would you trade him for Giannis? Would you trade him for Luka, right? Would you trade him for, I don't know, like, you wouldn't trade him for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis just bolted New Orleans, right? So you don't want to put him in that. I think when you take everything into account, how many you have him under contract, how good he is this fast, his personality, which seems to be of the type that doesn't need him to get out of Memphis, right? Whatever. You never know how that will evolve. I think the answer is you'd trade him for Luka. Like, Luka's you would trade him for Luka. And I think you would probably trade him for Giannis. Like, would you rather have that young player than this young player? Yes, I think. But is there anyone else? Like, first of all, do you agree with that? Would you agree Milwaukee is better off with Giannis and Dallas is better off with Luka than Memphis is with Ja?
Yes, I think if the Grizzlies offered both of those franchises, if they said, let's just swap them straight up, I think both would decline.
Not a prayer, right? Yeah, not a prayer. Both would decline. I mean, of course, no trade like this would happen. So I'm just imagining some world where you can blink and all of a sudden those people would be. But you'd rather have those guys. Although Giannis is further along in his contractual situation, so you could make an argument because of that, that you might rather have Ja and his future in Memphis than Giannis and his future in Milwaukee. You can make that argument one way or another. But I really don't think there's many players in the league that you would rather have on the Grizzlies right now than Ja Morant, which is staggering to think. Anyway, it was really fun yesterday to see all of this. And this is like nothing the Grizzlies have seen before, have never seen anything like this before. And I do wonder how it will translate in terms of just tickets, honestly. Obviously, it's translated in terms of here we are, like Memphis plays Cincinnati tonight, right? I mean, it's a big game. And what are we open talking about? We sit out and think what people are most interested in. I think people right now are still most interested in the euphoria over Ja Morant. The other thing that happened yesterday was we found out that Zion Williamson will not be making his debut until next week at home. Do you begrudge? And I tweeted out, I have to say that this was Zach McMillan's son, Ian McMillan, came up with this word and was going to tweet it out himself. I urged him to tweet it out himself. He did not. So I said, well, all right, then I'll tweet it. But I want to give full credit to young Ian McMillan that Zion came down with a case of Jeffluenza.
Yeah, it's tough. And, I heard it's going around these days.
Still has a touch of Jeffluenza, which is keeping him from – I actually don't believe that. I don't believe do you begrudge the Pelicans and Zion for not playing, making their debut earlier, and particularly playing in the MLK game at Memphis?
No, because when you read the stories about how the Pelicans are attempting to teach Zion to walk differently, like they have legitimate concerns about his body. When you took that guy and you are trying to rebuild your entire franchise in that mold, I don't
believe that the difference between, like, what is he supposed to make his debut next Wednesday? The difference in his health between Monday and Wednesday there's no difference, right? That can't be health or based. He's going to make his debut next Wednesday.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't fault them for – if they're being overly cautious, I don't care, because we watched the same thing with the Grizzlies and Ja. Like, you know what I mean? They've been very cautious. He technically could have played in summer league. They didn't have him play in summer league. There were times that they said, hey, he needs to rest here, and they rested him. They were very cautious with him with back spasms, and I was appreciative of it because it's not about today – with this guy,
right.
It's about.
I think it's different, though. I think in this case, if he could play next Wednesday, he could play Monday. Like, I don't think this is about caution in this example. I think this is about let's have him make his debut at home. And I don't begrudge him that either, honestly. Like, literally, if there is no health difference between playing at Memphis in that MLK game or making his debut, I think it's next Wednesday. I think it is. I'm driving right now, but I think it is that. Because it's at home.
Yeah, it is no Wednesday, because I know it's the 22nd and 15 plus 7.
I got no problems with it. Listen, he's their guy, you know. He's their guy forever. They have not been able to watch him for half of a season. And if they want to roll out Zion at home rather than at Memphis, I actually understand. I mean, if literally that's the reason, even if that's the unspoken reason. And to me, there can't be any health difference between – I don't think it's abundance of caution. If you know right now he's playing next Wednesday, since that they announced, they said it, right?
Yes.
They didn't say he's not still getting well. That means he's well, right? You're not projecting more healing. You're basically saying we know he's playing next Wednesday. That means he's well enough to play. And so what that means is they're just saying we want to do this at home. And I got no problems with them saying we want to do this at home. And I mean, the MLK thing is a twist. Like, to honor MLK, would you do? Yeah, but fine. He's their dude. And here's the other great thing about it is that right now, yes, would it be magnificent to have Ja versus Zion? Of course it would. That would be fantastic, wonderful, spectacular, best thing ever. But the Grizzlies are such an entertaining show themselves right now that you don't need it. I mean, like, yes, it would be dramatically better. It would be an occasion. It would be circle it, put stars next to it, all of that. It would be national news. It would be, I mean, it would dramatically bigger if Zion were playing. But as long as Ja's playing, Memphis fans should be happy. Like, Memphis fans should be entertained. I mean, don't you think? Like, they're playing against Cleveland Friday night. That's going to be entertaining. And it doesn't matter who the hell Cleveland puts on there. He could dunk on Kevin Love's head again. Like, whatever. Like, watching Ja play is enough to me. And no, it's not Ja versus Zion, but it's enough. Isn't it enough? Like, what, isn't this just like this is the best show in Memphis right now. And as many people have said, it's one of the best five shows in the NBA. One of the best shows in the NBA. Jeff, our old friend John Hollinger has a piece up at the place that we cannot name, all about how the Grizzlies became one of the must-watch league pass teams. And so if they are, it doesn't say because Zion Williams might pop in. It's all about what makes the Grizzlies entertaining. The Grizzlies by themselves are entertaining in a way, let's be honest, that they have never been entertaining before. Yes.
I admit a little bit of bias when you asked me that question. Jeff, I got eyes on the prize, and you and I have discussed this. I understand that there are certain people out there that if they pay their money to go and see, they want to see the stars and they want to see the show. And I do not begrudge anyone. I do not think that they're wrong and I'm right. I just have eyes on the prize, and this is going to be
win, baby.
I want the dub, baby. All I care about is that dub. I got Cleveland on Friday. I got New Orleans minus Ja on Monday. And, Jeff, if they're going to be favored in both those games, if they take care of business on Wednesday night, they're going to have the opportunity to play a game to be 500. And – like, it's mind-blowing to think about entering into the season.
That will be against whom?
That will be at Boston. They go at Boston, at Detroit. Then they come home for home games against Phoenix and Denver. Then you go to New York to play the Knicks. You get at New Orleans. Then you get Detroit again. I mean, there's a realistic chance when you go to Dallas on February 5th that you're right there at 500 or better.
Yeah, this is fantastic, and it's fantastic for the city, and it's fantastic for the franchise. Can you imagine if they had whatever Darius Garland on the team instead?
Why would you? No, why would I want to do that? That's so mean. That's so sad. Like,
just depressing. Like, and yet it's what I mean. If I was another,
it's like,
NBA
say, could you imagine if David Tyree dropped the helmet catch? Could you imagine if Mario Manningham didn't make the grab on the sideline, if David Freese didn't hit the home run in 2011 in Game 6? Like, no, I don't – why? Why would I want to do that? I enjoy thinking about the happy things.
You're right. You make it. If Chris Powers hadn't caught that pass in Tennessee. You make a good point. All right. Enough about the beloved Grizzlies. It's been incredible this last stretch. Memphis Tigers play Cincinnati tonight. Penny talked yesterday. He did say Precious will play. We apologize for terrifying y'all yesterday during our show where we sort of brought up the news. But I will say this. It was Precious who did it on his Snapchat. That's where this came from. And he was injured. Not only that, he was spotted yesterday at Campbell Glennon. You know, so Precious is banged up, as Penny admitted yesterday in his presser. He was not happy during his presser. It was a much more business-like presser than typical, and I don't know what was going on because Penny is unfailingly gracious. It's not that he wasn't gracious yesterday. He just wasn't expansive like he normally is. And so there was that. And then the other thing, he did talk about Boogie. And there were two parts to that. One is they're supportive of Boogie. They want him to get back on track, et cetera, and I think he's important to the cause. But he also, when he was John, I think, asked him about not starting Boogie and how Boogie took it. And Penny said, I can't – he's very, like, dismissive. He said, they've got to win games. I cannot worry about one player and what they think, whatever. And Gary Parrish made the very interesting point on his show that, A, that's true. B, Penny said all this last year when, I mean, you know, we knew this about Penny last year when he made the decisions he made about the starting lineup. But when you say, I can't worry about whether someone is happy or not, you are implicitly acknowledging that they are not. You know,
yes, no, I would agree with that.
Happy, if they were happy, you'd say, oh, no, Boogie doesn't care. He's just the kind of player he wants. Because that's what you said about Alo. He didn't care. He just wants to contribute, whatever, right? If you're saying, I can't worry about someone's happiness, that means he's unhappy, doesn't it?
Yes, I would fundamentally agree with that. Because, as you point out, the premise of that statement acknowledges something that you clear. It's the I'm not worried, but I'm worried. You know what I mean? Like it acknowledges that there is something in existence.
Yeah. And then the other thing, of course, that happened is we saw Wichita State get smashed last night. It's interesting to me. Obviously, this is a year when everyone's losing games. You know, Duke lost to Clemson this week, or another loss. Kentucky lost last night on a. I was so sorry to see that ball go in.
A banked in three. The bank was open in Columbia.
So, yeah, exactly right. If it happens in the AAC, it's going. And this is just the problem when you're playing against teams that are not as highly ranked or highly considered. The same sort of irrational head-scratching losses that everyone is suffering this year are going to be more damaging in the AAC. And I think it's going to be a eat-your-own situation where I do think it starts to diminish how many bids they ultimately get in a way that I'm not sure that's also true when it happens in the Omni Conference. I don't know. Your thoughts?
I felt this way all year because – you know, I don't know why it started going early, but don't you feel like the narrative, man, the AAC kind of stinks this year? Like, I felt like in November that was already the narrative, and I just kept watching around the rest of college basketball, and I kept kind of thinking,
Everybody stinks.
Right. I thought the American was like a nice little example or microcosm of what college basketball is this year, where there's not a great top-end team that you think is just going to overwhelm and run away with this. I think the top and the middle are probably closer to each other than they have been, and I don't think the bottom's as bad as we have seen. And I think that kind of reflects what college basketball is, but I do 100% agree with your point. It's this weird aspect of kind of once the narrative gets going, it's really tough to stop.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting tonight. Obviously, it'll be a big crowd. I will be there, and we will talk about that more tomorrow. And then finally, before I let you go, Justin Fuente did announce on Twitter that he is returning to Virginia Tech. So all of you people who were met, I actually wonder, I haven't looked at this. I haven't looked at the responses to that. Can you turn off your responses on Twitter? Because I imagine that Virginia Tech fans, there's probably a division, but I imagine they were not happy to hear the news.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. Let's go.
I'm reading
them
too.
let's see. There's like a frowny face. Yeah,
of course. Justin Fuente, of course, was said to be in the running for the Baylor job.
Correct.
And said yesterday, sort of took control of the narrative himself and said he'll be returning to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Tell your story.
Right. Exactly. So who knows if he didn't get it or if he whatever happened.
I can tell you the answer to that.
He didn't get it.
Yes, because you and I
said. Who's gonna get it?
Right now, it appears to be it's either going to be Billy Napier, or it's going to be if it's McGuire. He's the guy on the staff that had been promoted.
Oh yeah,
he's a former Texas high school head coach,
defensive coordinator, yeah. I think, or whatever. He's the interim guy,
associate head coach. Yeah.
Everyone loves him. It is funny how everyone loves the interim all the time. They love the interim, so it'll need to be him. I will say, if I were Baylor and I could hire Justin Fuente over either of those two dudes, I would. Like I do know that he has his failings, and they're mostly just recruiting oriented, right? You know,
Are big failings, Jeff.
I understand that.
We just watched Ed Orgeron win a national title, not because he's some different human being, but it's because he did, make adjustments.
Good. I think Justin's good. It would be good in Baylor, particularly given his Southwestern roots. Like he did not have the connections at Virginia Tech. So anyway, he'll go back to Virginia Tech, and you think he's going to have a miserable year and get fired. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. He's going to have a good year, and then it's going to be a dilemma because he's going to be recruiting badly, right? And yet, because he's certainly recruiting badly this year, and yet he's got everybody coming back pretty much. And so I think he's going to have a really good year this year. And now, by the way, this does keep the dream alive of having the Justin Fuente, Mike Norvell championship in the ACC championship game at some point in the future. Seems increasingly unlikely, though.
I'm glad that I helped. When you posed the question to me, who would I bet on? Would I bet on Norvell or Fuente? Really glad I picked Norvell in that hypothetical.
Was it of getting to the championship? What was the
your question was, if I were betting, who would I bet on getting to the AAC title game next? Like who?
Why won't Virginia Tech get there next year?
Did you watch them play? Like, yes, they've got everyone coming back, but I mean, just because you got everyone coming back doesn't always necessarily mean that's a good thing.
No.
A lot of times, Alabama, I've noticed, they don't have everyone coming back.
They never have everybody coming back.
And
that Tennessee has everybody coming back. Yeah, in some ways, it is better not to have everybody coming back. Suggests you got awesome players.
Correct. I've noticed the more talented ones are the ones that are the difference maker. But you look at it this way. Bronco Mendenhall is recruiting better in the state of Virginia. Virginia finally got the bear off the back.
Well, that's true. Like that must irritate. That's a threat to Virginia Tech. They've always had
I'll tell you another threat to Virginia Tech. My boy Mack Brown seems that he shook the right hands again in North Carolina. That was a place that Virginia Tech was always able to have some success recruiting in. North Carolina's better.
Is it possible that Justin Fuente could save one program and destroy another in the space of one career?
I think
he clearly did save this program. Like I have no doubt about what happened here at Memphis, and it was Justin Fuente picked it up out of a muck and saved and really created modern Memphis football. He is the father of modern Memphis football, and then Mike Norvell, of course, took it to grander heights, and now Ryan Silverfield is going to take it, not to put any pressure on him, to grander heights still. All right, let me I do want to tell you that this is the time. Robert Irwin, we're all trying to slim down, and Robert Irwin Jewelers doing the same thing with their inventory, with their beautiful jewels and jewelry. And so what he's done, and he's done this before, but it's an unbelievable deal, but also fun. He has put a board on date on the jewelry in the store. And so what you do is you go, you pick it up. You see how long it has been there. You see when it arrived. That's the born on date. You then check it against the chart, and you will discover that it's either 30 to 70, as much as 70% off. If you just want to go in there and look for something 70% off, you can do that. Like, I wonder if that's, oh, my gosh, it's 70% off. Like, do that. Go in there. Take your significant other. Do it together. Have fun. They have 5 locations. Well, one's in North Little Rock, but they have 4 Memphis locations. And this is only available, obviously, in the store. It's not available online because you got to be in there looking at the porn-on dates. But go on in. They have free financing. And you can get yourself an astonishing deal, as much as 70% off, in what is really a real modern-day treasure hunt. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers, and it is a remarkable, entertaining sale going on now. I am going to sign off. Jonah Jordan next, then Chris Harrington is going to join you to talk more about the Grizzlies. And then, I'm sorry to miss this, Steve White on the Titans and more. We will be back, or Jeff will be back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hewlett and Dunn, nestled on Old Town Square in Collierville, has 4,000 square feet of the largest boot selection in 200 miles. International boot legends Luke Casey, Double H, Red Wing, Ariat, Justin, and Tony Lama. Hewlett and Dunn has rubber hunting boots by Dryshod, and recently has expanded the selection of safety work boots. Filson Honey Gear, biggest selection in 3 states, and now carrying Duckhead. Western wear, hunting attire, jeans, belts, hats, and more at 111 North Center Street, Collierville on Old Town Square. You need to stop by Hewlin & Dunn. You bet your boots.
It's Howie from Robert Irwin Jewelers. What is your New Year's resolution this year?
I'm going to trim it down. I'm going to trim my inventory down. I'm going to trim my waist down. I'm trimming it all down.
How much?
Oh, I think I got it about a good 30 to 70% off anything that's in our jewelry showcases during our Santa surplus sale, and it's going on right now.
And with Valentine's Day just being a month away,
it's a great time to go shopping for engagement rings, especially at a great price. You got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, get free financing, sale going on at all locations. You can't get this online, folks.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary and range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished a normal sexual life. The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Want your roof done right?
Well, yeah.
Then call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF. A-Team roofers are licensed contractors and doesn't cut corners. We have on-site supervisors, and we only hire and train the best.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When our clients come to us for representation, I see way more than a client. I see me. When I hear someone has a herniated disc or a back injury, I think, what if that was me? How would that impact my life? I put myself in your shoes and in your life. When I look at your family, I see my family. This outlook makes my firm think differently than most. I understand that some injuries are forever, and forever is a very long time. For 30 years, we've helped hundreds of thousands recover what they deserve. $1 billion last year alone. Every time we hear your stories, we feel like it's us. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, call us because we care. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's #529. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.com.
Free background information available upon request.
Hi, Saver. Walgreens here. We like the way you save. Take coffee. You know it doesn't have to cost $4 a cup, so you make your own. And co-pays on Medicare Part D. You save up to $5 and get 100 balanced rewards points on each prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Save smartly on Med D. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Co-pay savings on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Points cannot be earned in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Complete details at walgreens.com/balance.
Discover why Audible is the best way to stay informed, inspired, and entertained. Right now, save $50 on your first year of Audible at audible.com. You get to choose any 12 audiobooks so you can listen to bestsellers and hear leading experts on topics like finance, fitness, relationships, and more. Listening is the new reading. And right now, your first year is just $99.50. That's a $50 savings. But hurry, it ends January 31st. Visit audible.com today.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Jenna Jordan, of course, covers Memphis Tiger football program for the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter, @_JonahJordan. Jonah, we're going to get into some of the new hires with the Memphis Tiger football program in just a moment. But I was curious, what was your reaction when you saw the news break from Pete Thamel and others that Justin Fuente was at the very least interviewing for the Baylor job? I think that I think it's safe to say that if he thought he could get the Baylor job, he was going to interview for it. And he announced yesterday on Twitter that he's ready to go to work for 2020 at Virginia Tech.
I wasn't shocked. I mean, in all honesty, it's Fuente at Virginia Tech is like a square peg in a round hole. I mean, it does. We've seen that it may not work. The fit is kind of weird now that we've looked at things, now that he's been there. At the time, we thought, oh, Virginia Tech is such a good job. Fuente is such a good coach. He'll make it work. Despite not having any East Coast connections, despite the fact that he apparently isn't going to hire anybody with East Coast connections, despite the fact that he won't hire anyone but friends and people he worked with at Southern Illinois, Fuente needs to get back to Texas. Fuente needs to get back to the Midwest, or he needs to get back to the South. I think he's either realized that or somebody around him has realized that, and that is probably what they've been pushing for. I'm shocked he didn't push harder for the job. I'm shocked he's back at Virginia Tech. I thought it would have been a perfect for him. Honestly, with that team, he could have just picked up, and they probably could have been really good next year.
See, it's fascinating. I think he pushed pretty hard for it. I think he knew all the things that you did, and I think it was, you know, it's kind of in the coaching profession now. It's like it's almost you're better off getting out before they get you, and I don't know. Like, to me, my questions with Justin Fuente are, I do not know at the Power 5 level if you can just coach him up at a big job and win. To me, the best example that we've seen, and it's still a little early to determine because he's only, you know, he just finished year two. Dan Mullen falls into that category, but Dan recruits at a higher level than Justin does, even relatively.
Yeah, and honestly, it is almost a refusal to recruit at that high of a level. It doesn't really make sense. It never made sense to the people at Memphis. It doesn't make sense to people that have worked with him over in Virginia Tech. I mean, he could absolutely recruit the East Coast at a high level if he would go out and hire the right people. But because Justin himself may not be a good recruiter, but he could hire people around him that are. You know, people do that all the time. We've seen a million coaches who themselves aren't great recruiters but can hire people to do it. I don't understand why, really. Fuente is an enigma, to be honest. Like, he is a strange guy. I would not be shocked to see him be coaching at a Power 5 program or a non-Power 5 program in the South or in Texas come this time next year. And I don't think you would be either, Jeffrey.
No, and Mark Giannotto, when he saw the tweet, Mark proposed a theory. For those that don't know, Mark used to cover Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So I don't think this was Mark sitting in his chair, kicking his feet back, putting his pencil in his mouth, thinking, what take can I fire off here? There's the possibility that the interview was leaked by people at Virginia Tech to perhaps make it more reasonable and more palatable that if this season doesn't go properly, that they can fire Fuente this year. Because it seems like it's going one of two ways. Either he's going to do well and get out because of all the things that we've just mentioned, or he's going to disappoint. And he just made it, I think, easier to get rid of him.
100%. And it's kind of like that Dave Yeager thing, you know, where
he
was only looking for new jobs. But I don't know. I think they've done Fuente a little bit of a disservice. He's following the best coach program history, the guy that built Virginia Tech into something. They had Bud Foster on his staff, and that was a disaster from the get-go. Like, they have not done Justin any favors. But he hasn't also made it easy on himself. So hopefully he's able to get it together. I think they have an expectation problem there in Blacksburg, and I think he's probably had problems adjusting to that and adjusting to how to handle those expectations. We've seen other coaches struggle with that, like Willie Taggart. He'll get it together eventually somewhere. He's too good of a coach not to.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you. When a coaching situation doesn't work, more times than not, it's not just this coach was a failure. There's usually a lot of other reasons. Like, you look at it right now, Mack Brown is at North Carolina.
Mac is recruiting at a higher level than North Carolina has recruited at for the last, you know, I don't want to say maybe decade, but they're recruiting at a level that's fairly high given the amount of success that they've had. You look at Mike Locksley getting the Maryland job. So that takes away the DMV area because at that point, you know, James Franklin was already recruiting that area very, very hard. I think also another big factor with Virginia Tech, kind of some of their pipelines, like the Virginia Beach area, the places that not a lot of other schools recruited, and they could find some diamonds in the rough. The recruiting business and coverage of recruiting has made it made
there
some
are no
of these,
more diamonds.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult to find these diamonds in the rough, and so you start looking at it that way. He's clearly had locker room issues between Beamer guys, his guys. He struggled to pick a quarterback. There's a lot that goes into it, but I think you're right. I think in general the biggest surprise is it felt like such a good fit at the beginning. You know as well as anyone, though, I don't give a crap about fit. But
but the thing is you're right. He's struggling with recruiting, and then how many kids in the South or in Texas wake up in the morning where Fuente recruits, where his people recruit, like look at who all ended up in Memphis. How many of those kids wake up in the morning and say, man, I really want to go to Virginia Tech? You know, that's the problem. Is he, all these areas have been taken away, and then his bread and butter is difficult to pull kids to Blacksburg.
Yeah, and it also, I think, is an example. Virginia Tech is an example of just because you become a brand, because you become hot, and you become something that is popular, it shows that you are just, you know, a 3-4 year cycle away from becoming an afterthought.
100%.
Talking, of course, with Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian. He's on Twitter @_JonahJordan. Some new additions to the Memphis football staff. Last week we discussed Mike McIntyre. We also discussed the news that Brady White was returning. Now we get a little more clarity on some other guys that will be joining the staff. I know I saw that Pope is going to be the defensive line coach. What can you tell us about a few of the other additions?
So Kyle Pope was hired last night to be the defensive line coach. So, you know, Mike McIntyre is a 3-4 guy, but they're going to run a multiple kind of 3-4-4-3 situation. So I thought defensive line coach would be pretty important. So they went out and got Kyle Pope from Liberty. He coached under Hugh Freeze for a year after being – he was an Alabama GA defensive control, whatever you call it, guy.
Quality control, come on.
Line. Yeah. So he coached at Alabama for 2 years. Pretty impressive guy. Really, everybody I've talked to is a real up-and-comer in the profession. People expected him to get a job at a Power 5 conference this year. But again, as he's done, Ryan Silverfield went out and got somebody before somebody else could, or over somebody else. You know how job offers go in that industry. It's kind of different. But it definitely seems like Ryan really pulled one in with that one because he has an impressive resume. Everybody you talk to really, really likes the guy, and it seems like the players are excited about him too. I've seen a couple tweets and Instagram posts here and there about him.
How big of a because Jeff asked me this, and so I want to ask your opinion, and I'm coming at it from a perspective of having kind of watched Mike McIntyre's career from multiple places. I don't think the 3-4 thing is going to be that big of a deal. One thing I do know about Mike McIntyre is he is very good at looking at what he has and scheming around that. I don't think he is the, I run a 3-4, this is my system, you're going to play in it. And I just don't feel like those concerns are legitimate.
No.
I could be dead wrong.
I think it is just an interesting point to talk about, how to fit the personnel with what he wants to do. But I also do think that if he went into his job interview and was like, I run a 3-4, we're going to run a 3-4, I really don't care who you have, he probably wouldn't be the defensive coordinator at Memphis. I do think there is going to have to be some flexibility there because of the personnel, and I think that they picked the right guy for that kind of flexibility. They'll figure out what they have, and they'll run accordingly. I mean, I really, like, it is an interesting kind of point to talk about, but it's not an end-all, be-all break them, break back. The defense is going to be good or bad on if they run a 3-4 or a 4-3, you know. I think it's going to be a lot more than that. So it'll be interesting what they run. I just think I think McIntyre will do a good job. I'm interested to see what else they have in store for the next week or so.
We've seen some way too early 2020 rankings. I'm not even trying to be the hot take guy and saying, like, I don't put stock into them because I think they're stupid. It's the biggest reason I don't put as much stock into it, because now more than ever in college football, the transfer portal impacts rosters at a level that we've never seen. And so I just don't think we're close enough to knowing what other rosters comparatively are going to look like. But Memphis is heavily included in many of those rankings, as they should be. They've got their quarterback coming back. They got their best playmaker coming back. They have, I think, done a good job of filling out this staff under Ryan Silverfield, and I think they have all the makings of deserving of being another, you know, Group of Five champion that's going to be in it for a New Year's Six bowl bid. When you kind of stack up the competition, what are the most interesting questions, and what are you most interested about, like looking at the rest of the AAC? In terms of what we're going to see the next, you know, 5-6 months in terms of finally putting rosters together?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what people – obviously you mentioned it, you touched on it a little bit. I'm interested to see how active the AAC is on the transfer market, because last year you saw SMU, kind of the rise of the Mustangs again under Sonny Dyke. They did that with what was it? I think they had 18 starters who were graduate transfers, 16 starters who were graduate transfers. So obviously – someone in the AAC has shown, hey, we can do this. You can do this in this league with a bunch of guys who are only going to play a year. So I'm interested to see if anybody else takes that route, to anybody who says, okay, I want to be good right now, so I'm just going to get as many of these guys as I can and just figure it out, you know?
Yeah, I think it appears Houston is at least positioning themselves to do that. Now, it's one thing to say this is our plan, and it's another thing to actually execute that plan. Of course, the other news is – shocking everyone I know out there, De'Arik King, after redshirting this year, has decided to enter the transfer portal, despite the fact that everyone said he would be back. Who could have ever have foreseen that?
I'm so shocked. I clutched my pearls and gasped.
It's fascinating to watch, but I don't know, like with Houston, it's a weird, you know, there's not a clear-cut quarterback on this roster. I expect Dana has a plan, but we don't know what it is. SMU.
Does he have a plan? Because that would be news to me. Because watching it from afar, it's kind of like,
I mean, it was going to take a year longer, but I think his plan was essentially he was going to do exactly what Sonny Dykes did at SMU, which is I am going to rebuild this roster in my image. I could, because of when he was hired and the timing, I guess he felt like he couldn't do it quickly. And then they didn't get off to the start that they wanted. And so maybe it put them behind schedule, but I would expect that roster looks a lot different next year. Now, it's one thing for it to be a different roster. It's another thing to actually do what SMU did, which is put a new roster together essentially in 3 months and then win with it. I guess what's curious to me, where are you on UCF right now? Because you have to think that in general, they still had plenty of talent on the field. They never got a solid answer at quarterback. Where are you on UCF?
It's the quarterback thing. It's the quarterback and it's coaching. They're losing Scott Frost guys, and now it's like, okay, it's time to kind of see what you're made of. He didn't have Mackenzie Milton to say, hey, go out there and do your thing. Go out there and be an NFL player. Go out there and just basically do what Scott did. I know he probably didn't just say, hey, just run the same plays from last year. But his first year, he would return pretty much the exact same team that Frost had. And then this year, he had quarterback problems. They just weren't as good on defense. They were better near the end of the year, but I don't know. I know some UCF fans. I'm buddies with a couple of them. They are not happy with them. They thought that team should have been and could have been a lot better. So this could be a year for Heupel where it's like, okay, show us what you got. And then he's got to figure out what he's doing at quarterback. He lost a receiver or two and then some defensive players to the NFL in graduation. So now it's definitely like, can this guy do this? Can this guy have as much success as Scott Frost had or as Mike Norvell had? Can he go out and do it in his third year? And I think that's kind of like the key is finding a quarterback.
Jonah, we appreciate it, my man.
Yes, sir, anytime.
That is Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian, available also over at Daily Memphian is a Tiger podcast. Jonah and Drew Hill discussed not only Tiger football, but Tiger basketball. Go check that out. When we come back, the Daily Memphian's Chris Harrington joins the program. We get back to the Grizzlies with Chris next. Also, stick around for a chance to win $1,000. Brad Carson's got another cash code coming up for you. All of that next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If you are noticing cracks in the walls of your homes, your floors are sinking or sloping a little bit, you could have a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you could have a serious problem. And the way to find out is to get in touch with the Redeemers Group. The Redeemers Group is a local company.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.